First you put yourself together, then you put yourself aside. And only when you do this, can you see with pure clear eyes.
Hello beautiful creators, this is Kirisha King.
When I was teaching grammar to kindergartners, I remember there was a point where, of course, I was an after-school teacher, so what I would do would be to reinforce some of the lessons that they already were getting in their class so that they could become better at those things. I remember there was a point where I was told, hey, they're learning their vowels, but they're really not understanding what vowels are, how to use them, or to remember any of their vowels. Knowing, though, that music often gets things stuck in people's head in terms of helping you to remember things if it's something that you're wanting to remember. Music is the clearest way to communicate that. So you reinforce it in your head rhythmically over and over again, and after a while it's just a song. It's not really anything that you have to recall some strenuous, painful experience of remembering. It's just a fun little thing that pops into your brain every time you need it. In fact, that's, I don't know if you remember those, I can't remember what the name of that series was, but the one where you had the different things that you were learning and you would hear a song. So 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, and 18, right? So you learn how to say your multiplication tables from some songs. First thing I did was find some songs, some good ones that they might enjoy hearing. I would help them to remember what it is that we're doing and become really good at this thing called vowels, which are basically the foundation of language and understanding. They're also, interestingly, the foundation of singing and so many other things. So I got some songs together and I went to teach my class. And the first thing that happened, soon as I started playing the music and I sang, I saw their face just smile and light up. And so what we did was we sang and put a little dance to it. And guess what? By the end of that week, they were done. Like, they were pretty much experts at vowels because they had learned it and integrated it into their being in an effective way that allowed them to easily recall it without too much struggle and suffering. It just comes up automatically when they think of what letters sound like and how to sound out words and how to add vowels in between their consonants. So, let me sing it again for you all who may need to remember what it is exactly that we're doing on this eightfold path, and maybe it'll get stuck in your head the same way that some of these songs that have these crazy lyrics that drag you down into sadness or misery or and whatever else get stuck in your head. Maybe these words can get stuck in your head if you haven't been chanting your Om Purbhuvasvaha or your Asatomas and contemplating your Om and those higher elevated words. I'll sing this in English so that you understand what it is exactly that you need to do. So here it is again. First you get yourself together, then you put yourself aside. And only when you do this, can you see with pure clear eyes. And so what is it exactly that gets in your way when it comes to your evolution and your pure seeing of the truth? What is it that you're getting together and then putting aside and then seeing? Once you put it aside, we're getting to the conclusion of the Yoga Sutras soon, because obviously now we're in book 4. And book four deals with Kaivalya, or liberation, which is also translated into absoluteness, aloneness, solitude. All words that for some reason make people really uncomfortable. I've noticed that because people want to cling to their connections with others as if they're not just intrinsically connected and there's no way to separate that. But it's due to fear or due to conditioning, due to attachments, due to lots of things that make people feel like somehow if they are alone, if they are by themselves somehow, with themselves, that somehow, I'm not exactly sure what exactly in their imagination is going on, whether it's they're going to be destroyed or collapse or die or whatever it is, but all of those things are an illusion. And I want to also remind you that absoluteness, aloneness, and solitude is the way to become liberated. You have to clear away all of your attachments, all of your distortions, and everything that gets in the way of who you are. And when you are attached, distracted, dragged here and there to all the things outside of you that can distort your perception of your pure self, obviously, you will never be free. You're always going to be responding, reacting, entertaining, hiding, running, fearing, desiring something in this world. Those things are sure to keep you trapped out here in a perpetual cycle of karma, and that automatically will tie you to suffering in this world. So the question is, because maybe it's not so clear, what exactly is liberation? What does it mean to be liberated? You kind of have an idea of what it means to be enlightened, to basically have your light shine through. That's the putting yourself together part. Samadhi is about self-collectedness, getting yourself together, right? Integrating your body, mind, and spirit in a way that creates balance, harmony, focus, and concentration back into yourself so that you can purely express that light in the world. But Samadhi alone by itself is a gradual evolution within you that only prepares you for liberation, which is this thing that we're discussing, also known as Kaivalya, Turiya. I'm assuming maybe some people interchange this word with Nirvana. You can also just call it Asamprajnata Samadhi, Nirbija. There are lots of ways to really describe this process, but it all comes back to this word that might help you to really put it into context, and it is absoluteness. Absolutely focused back into all that you are without distortion, absolute 100% pure being and expression, absolute without any sort of contamination from any distortions out here. And main distortion, main thing that gets in your way, main obstacle that prevents you from getting to this place of absoluteness is this false sense of self that you have thought all your life and have been told all your life and watch others participate in all their lives and so therefore take as the absolute truth and reality. But it is only a distortion of reality, this false sense of self that you identify with as who you are. This thing that suffers in the world due to desiring, due to experience, due to its relationship with others, relationship with everything out here, to objects, whether it gets the object or doesn't get the object, this pursuit of all sorts of things in life, this constant chasing after more, this constant feeling like it is not whole and enough. Whatever your delusion happens to be, different people have different levels of delusion. Some people have a lot of hatred that they've picked up. Not sure how they justify that, especially since it mainly brings them misery. But it's a part of their identity, part of who they feel they are. Sometimes some identities are given to you at birth. You're this, you're that. You play those roles, you put on that costume. You pretend like this is who you are. However, the absolute self that shines through all things, in all things, and is represented by the oneness of all that is here, that is the truth. In this aloneness, in this pure connection back to yourself, you realize that you are connected to all things. There's only one thing, and it's not a thing, one light, one being shining out here in all of existence, and that is shining through you to animate this form that is just a reflection of that absolute truth and absolute self, and it is connected and tied to all beings who you are intrinsically connected and interconnected with. You are alone out here in your multiplicity, in duality. And the only time that you get suffering and pain is when you over-identify with this projection, as opposed to coming into your full self and knowledge, independent of all of these projections and distortions and lower reflections of yourself that get you trapped in what is considered Maya, which is this false perception and over-identification with form that creates this sense of ego, identity, this changing, finite sense of self, all of the attachments and attractions and aversions and likes and dislikes and all sorts of crazy things that you pick up in relationship to just existence itself. It's most apparent to see this displayed and the absurdity of it in maybe people who are a little bit more egocentric than others. For example, they feel like they're the center of the universe and everything they do and everything revolves around them. And we all know, since there are billions of people on this planet, that no one person is so important that they're more important than anybody else out here. And we all know that we're all connected. Everything out here, from these plants that sometimes you don't appreciate, that create the atmosphere that allows your body to be able to function and exist out here without suffocating and dying, to anyone doing any tasks out here that help to maintain the structures of our society. But it's clear to see when there is someone who is feeling more into themselves than is necessary for even their existence, even when they themselves will wither away and die. And before they even existed, the world was rotating on its axis, existing, life was going on, things existed before them, things will exist after them, and yet they have this overinflated sense of importance in relationship to the roles that they play out here so well, right? You're standing ovation for your acting role here in society, but standing ovation only for your play within Maya, because you are completely disconnected from who you truly are. That is not determined or defined by any of these performances or robes and roles and things that you put on. So you get yourself together. First thing is to disconnect from these animal drives that make you feel like somehow your little form out here is the most important thing, that you can treat anybody else any way you want to, as long as you're selfishly pushing forward for your basic survival, right? Just the body-mind survival. That's pretty much it. You're just over-attaching yourself to this animal body-mind, and you're willing to do anything to preserve it. You then develop that ego that makes it feel so important. Oh, you hurt my feelings, or you
hurt my sense of identity by doing this, or your existence itself makes me feel a little bit shaky, right? People feel jealousy. If someone's beautiful, they're like, ugh. Like, as if we're all competing for the same mate out here, or competing for the same thing, or if someone else is intelligent, or someone else's money, or anything else has anything to do with you, if they have not directly stolen something from you. But these false, wispy attachments that people attach themselves to and defend at all costs, willing to do anything for land, for territory, for gold, for riches, for sense of importance, for validation, for fame and money, which is the currency that a lot of people throw around as if it were giving you a sense of worth or value out here in existence. But is existence itself not enough for us here on this planet? What more do you need to show that you are valuable and you are worthy and you are something of substance? So you get yourself together so you don't get caught in that cycle of endless desiring all sorts of other things that it'll drag you into, to play these crazy roles with others, because you do kind of need them to play these roles. I mean, you can be in your living room by yourself, acting by yourself, but it's not as convincing, is it? It's more convincing when you're playing with others, and then you can be angry about something and feel self-righteous or feel lustful or whatever it is that you want to feel. You just feel all these different things and play out roles as mommy or daddy or sister or brother or college professor or whatever you want to play out. And the different things within that get karmically tied to others who throw attachments and projections onto you and negotiate different roles that you play. Oh, you look at your name on the wall. Has it been written? Oh, did you get the role? Oh my God, I auditioned for blah, blah, blah. Did I get it? Did I get it? Did I get it? Did I get that role? You don't get that. Oh no, I was casted as so-and-so instead. He goes storming off. You're none of these things. It's a joke. It's a role. It's a play. Shakespeare said it really well. All the world's a stage, and every man has, I think he said, 7 acts. And you come here and you play around. That's your span of your life. You play these different roles. You grow from childhood to adulthood. You fit into society. You make yourself a cog for a certain corporation. Work that thing out. Get into all the karmic ties. Do their bidding for some money. And you go on with your life. And that money makes you feel so important. It allows you to buy things that you can put on yourself and parade around so that other people can see how important and valuable and special you are. And you wear your identity in your outfits. This my hair represents who I am. Or you're goth this day, so you wear all black and you put on a sad thing and you listen to only a certain kind of music and you do this and you're wallowing in your sadness and you express yourself and you play in emotion and all these things. And then you wonder why you're confused, why you're suffering and all these things. And once you've had enough of that BS, you get yourself together, you realize how you are tying yourself emotionally all sorts of ways to these different actions out here in the world, to entertainment, to distraction, to this and this and that. You collect yourself. That's the Eightfold Path. You get yourself together. And then Naroda, put that aside. Because obviously, it is something that occurs on the plane of the self. And it is not you and yourself. The fact that you can even put it aside, or you can even change roles, or evolve into anything, makes you know that this is just kind of like this little putty that you play with. But what is it that animates that putty? What is it that makes this thing even exist in the first place? That is what you then clear everything away to come into. Clear away all the distortions, so that you can come into the pure, full expression, connect back to yourself in your absolute form that is not attached or tied to any external objects in the world. Once you connect to that, and then you can see how it is all connected as one with everything else, you are free. You are not bound to form. You are not bound to all these different attachments. You don't get your sense of importance or self or worth or all sorts of crazy things out here from objects that are fleeting and will fade away, age, decay, and die. And your spirit remains free. And your individual expression in this one lifetime that you have in this specific form, you can know this, be this, rest in it, and then fully live and experience life as it is without distortion and without being dragged all over the place and over-attaching yourself to karmic cycles in relationship to others that keeps you in suffering. So, what gets in the way of your evolution and your pure expression? It is that false sense of self that you identify with as you. You get in your way. The self and connecting back to who you are and yourself, that absolute pure self, is what liberates you from the distortion of over-attachment to this illusion and makes it so that you can truly live as opposed to continuing to go around and around in suffering out here with others who are quote-unquote others who are disconnected from themselves and trying to find some sort of tangibility and reality within the play and acts that they carry out for the 7 or so stages of their existence here on planet Earth in any given form.